Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Drive. It is Wednesday morning here in the Berkshires. Thank you so much for tuning in. Bob Heck here with you. We're going to get to our guests in just a little bit. But first, Pittsfield Community Television turning 40 this year. And we're inviting you to join the celebration. PCTV's 40th anniversary celebration is coming up Friday, September 18th at Berkshire Hills Country Club starting at 6 p.m. We're going to have an evening of food, fun, dancing. Tickets are $50. We got WTEN's Ryan Peterson as our keynote speaker. And if you go to pittsfieldtv.org right now, you can get more information, get your tickets. Again, the event starts at 6. And then at 9 o'clock, Joe 80 and the Lugnuts are going to party. We're going to have them on Morning Drive at some point leading up to the show. And I don't know why my camera's all messed up, but I can't fix it. They stole the mechanism out of here to fix my camera. So fortunately, though, our guest today is on Zoom, and he has his own camera. We are talking with Joe Cheeseman. What's up, Joe? Well, let me turn your mic on. There we go. What's up, Joe?
Oh, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Apparently having a rough morning so far. now, we've had my daughter Ashley on the show a few times talking about our chase to trying to get to all 30 stadiums. And I figured it would be fun if we had somebody who has already been to all 30 stadiums. And that's where Joe comes in. And Joe, before we talk to you about your ballpark chase, first off, where are you from? We sort of found you online.
Yeah, so I'm a radio DJ as well. I've actually moved around the country quite a bit. I'm currently in Columbus, Ohio. I probably will be here for a long time. But I actually grew up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay, so, all over the place. And, you know, I've been fortunate to be in one market my whole career, maybe not in commercial radio, but that's pretty rare nowadays to just be in one market.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. I feel like every couple of years it's like, oh, I gotta move. But Columbus is pretty cool. You know, I've been in Orlando and Kansas City and Fargo and Sioux Falls before then too. So yeah, some really cool places.
So you've gotten the full radio personality experience.
Yeah. Yeah. They say you haven't been in radio until you've been fired. So I've gotten right. That a few times where I've, yeah.
So you've been to all 30 stadiums.
I have.
First off, what was your home stadium?
So I should say my parents are originally from New Jersey, South Jersey. So I'm a Phillies fan. So like my very first game was at Veterans Stadium when I was 7. But I also grew up in South Dakota. So that's 4 hours away from Minneapolis. I went to college in Minneapolis. So I would say my home stadium where I grew up was probably the Metrodome and then later on Target Field. But like I said, still the Phillies were kind of a team that I followed my whole life. So it's kind of like this weird in between Philadelphia and Minneapolis.
And when did you decide to start this chase?
So baseball's always been a huge passion of mine. I remember when I was a kid, my parents took us on this little Midwestern road trip from South Dakota to Sioux Falls, or from South Dakota to Minneapolis, then to Milwaukee, then to Chicago, then to St. Louis and Kansas City, and then back up to Sioux Falls again. So I remember doing that and thinking, like, I got to see a good portion of the country when I was in junior high. Around 2014, I was kind of like looking at the teams that I've been to. I was like, I've been to about half of them. I think if I really wanted to do this, I could probably make it happen. And then something as silly as, like, you know what? I went through a kind of a messy, hairy divorce, and I wanted to, like, do something that I've always wanted to do but never really saw it working out. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do something I've always wanted to do. And it just became a great way to see the country. You meet some really interesting people. And it brought a lot of joy.
Yeah, I mean, ours was a little different. Our home field is Fenway, and we got a season ticket package there, 10 games. And last year, we had gone to Houston before a cruise and said, screw it, let's go to the right. Astros game. And then we went to Baltimore for a cruise, and I said, screw it, let's go to Camden Yards. Yeah. So my daughters had been to Houston and Baltimore before even thinking about Fenway. And then my youngest daughter got really into baseball, and she's my travel buddy. And we hit Fenway, and then we last year around this time, we went to the Yankees game, Yankees Red Sox game at Yankee Stadium. And I'm like, you know what? Philly's only like an hour and 20 minutes away. You want to just hit Philly too? And
right.
That's sort of when we started our chase. And this was last year. You know, well, citizens, you know, go ahead.
You know, what's funny is like my wife, we first started dating and she's from Ohio. So she grew up going to the Reds games and stuff. So then I started showing her Guardians games, and we went to a Tigers game, and then we went to a Pirates and all these other games now. And she doesn't quite know it yet, but she's going to go to all the stadiums as well. Like, we actually have another trip on the books, and that's going to be her ninth stadium. So it just started off just, you know, I know she likes going to games, and she likes, but I think she likes watching me go to games. But it's really fun because even though I've been to all the stadiums before, going with her for the first time, you get a new set of eyes on things that you haven't seen before. So I'm enjoying watching her go on this chase now as well.
Yeah, and it's probably nice to go back for a second time to some of these places because there's like, you get home and you look at things and you're like, crap, I completely missed out on that. So,
right.
You know, being able to see things for a second time is probably cool on that level too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of things I missed the first time. There's a lot of stadiums that have changed since the first time mm-hmm. I went there. Wrigley Field. There's a huge documentary on YouTube about how they saved the stadium and they had to, like, put it on stilts and everything. And that was really interesting to see. And then you go see it again. You're like, oh, I remember hearing about that. Fenway was one. I went with my dad in 2005 and I was like, oh, it's been like 20 years since I've been there. And I wasn't chasing then, so I didn't really know what I was looking at. And then you take a tour of Fenway, and I remember being there, but then you see it again. You're like, wow, this is actually a really magical place.
Yeah, and you had seen Wrigley before the renovations. I didn't really, wasn't aware, and I got to sit down and watch that documentary, that there were renovations done at Wrigley to the extent that they were. And I was like disappointed because, you know, Fenway is my home park and,
right.
You know, historic dump, you could use them interchangeably as far as I'm concerned. You know, you walk in and you're like, wow, this is definitely the stadium Ted Williams played in.
Yeah.
This is definitely the stadium Yaz played in. And it definitely feels exactly that way. And then I walked into Wrigley Field and I'm like, this feels kind of brand new. It was a bit of a shock to me.
Well, I will say the first time I went to Wrigley, it was cool. Don't get me wrong.
Like, yeah.
I saw it in 2002. Like, the Cubs were still pretty good. Sammy Sosa was still on the team, everything. I don't know if I can say it. It had, like, a urine smell to it. And I was like, this isn't really
what
I seen. Like, it felt old. It felt like this is not – you get the history behind it, but then again, you also have the fact that it is, like, a 100-year-old stadium, and you get that – The not so nice part. So, like you mentioned, you know, historic dump. I wouldn't say Fenway's a dump. I mean, I really enjoy the older part of it. I think the Red Sox and now the Cubs more recently have done a great job
yeah.
saving these stadiums that have been around since the 20s, at least the teens with the Red Sox. I mean, like, they've done amazing jobs with that. But again, there is a personal preference type of thing that people have with stadiums. For me, I happen to really like downtown ballparks. I happen to really like skylines, and there's a lot of people there who are like, as long as it's temperature controlled, I don't really care what the stadiums look like. It's just, it's got to be comfortable. I enjoy my team. So it's all personal preference, really.
Yeah, 100%. And did you have any sort of strategies as you were going through these stadiums where, you know, you would get the schedule a year in advance and be like,
yeah.
Oh, I can pick that place, pick that place, pick that place?
Yeah. So another thing, too, my brother also works for the Twins, I should say also.
Oh, okay, that helps.
So I would try my best to go see the Phillies play wherever I could.
Mm-hmm.
If that couldn't work out, I would typically go see the Twins. And then oftentimes, too, like if there was a concert I wanted to go see in a city that I've never really been to, I would try to work in. Like, that's how I got the White Sox in, was because there was a concert I wanted to see in South Bend, Indiana. And so I was like, we'll cross this off and we'll cross off the White Sox. And it happened to be they played the Yankees. So two teams that I typically don't really pay attention to, you just go cross off. A lot of it is just geography. You try to tie in like little road trips at the same time. Like, one of my favorite experiences with my dad and I, we went to Texas in 2008 and I saw the Astros playing during the day. And then we drove up to Arlington at night.
Oh, wow.
And then we saw the Rangers play at night. And it was like two Major League Baseball games in two completely different cities at the same day. And I mean, people can do that with Chicago and Milwaukee and New York and stuff. But it was like a great experience to see, like, if we could do it. So I try to, like, look at the schedule. There's a ballpark trip planner you can type in. You can type in the cities that you want to go to. And now they'll actually plan it out. Like, you could have, like, I want 2 days off between. And that's fine. But typically I try to cross off multiple during one trip. If it's a big trip, like in California, I'll try to cross off two or three at a time.
Yeah, that's the way to go. When we went to Chicago, we crossed off both Chicago stadiums and then went up to Milwaukee. This was just about a month or so ago. And yeah, it's and the challenge now for me is outside of California, there's not really a lot of stadiums I can hit together in a bunch, you know. How did you start hitting those, like a Colorado? I mean, you can't really.
Yeah, so I hit Colorado up because I was living in Kansas City at the time, and it was a real easy flight to get to Denver from Kansas City. It was like an hour, and it was cheap. Seattle was a tough one too, because it's like right out in the middle of no man's land. So what I did, when I was finishing up my trip, I actually kind of rushed it a little bit because I knew that Oakland was coming to an end. So I needed to cross Oakland off. So I saw when the Phillies were playing the Mariners, and I went there in 2024 and then went to the Mariners and then flew to Northern California, saw the A's play, and then a couple days later saw the Giants play. But it was like a $70 one-way ticket from Seattle to San Francisco. So I mean, it was different. It was not something I do often, but yeah, you cross those ones off and try to figure out, like, you know, where can I make this work?
We're talking with Joe Cheeseman. He is a radio personality out in Columbus, Ohio. Met him on the Ballpark Chasers Facebook page. You know, one of the good things about social media, of the starting to dwindling good things of social media, is you get to jump into groups with people with shared interests. And that's where we found Joe. And he's completed all 30 stadiums. Our journey is at 9 right now. What's been your favorite side quest, so to speak? You know, you go somewhere and to do the ballparks, and then, you know, you have a day off and you do something else. Like, what was your favorite thing to do?
That's a really good question. So last summer, my mom and I actually went to Boston, and we did, you know, a cruise where we went and whale watched.
Oh, nice.
During the day. And then we went to Fenway. We took a tour of Fenway. San Francisco is really nice. Like all cities, it's got its pockets where things that you try to avoid.
Mm.
I'm trying to think where else. I mean, I know as soon as I get off the phone here, I'm going to think of like a million of them. You'd be surprised, but Kansas City is actually a lot of fun. They got the Negro League Hall of Fame there, which is super cool. Some of the best barbecue you'll ever find is there. Of course, San Diego has the beach. I mean, like, all that's the great thing about the stadiums is, like, you get to see various parts of the country. Even the internationally, you go to Toronto and you're looking at one of the tallest monuments right outside of the stadium. That's like with the CN Tower. It's incredible. Specific side quest, though.
Like, while you're thinking, like, yeah. You know, when my daughter and I were in Chicago, we went to the Sears Tower / Willis Tower, depending on what you want to call it nowadays. Yeah. And they had this thing called Sky Deck. And basically, on the 103rd floor, they had these glass enclosures built off of the building. So you could step out into the glass enclosure, look down, and see 103 feet down. And that was wicked cool. My daughter didn't love it so much. You were allowed out there for 90 seconds to take pictures. She said it felt like 3 hours. She couldn't wait for it to be over. But, like, that was a wicked cool side quest.
Yeah, something like Toronto with the CN Tower. You can go up and you can look down right at the field. I was there when the Phillies were playing there in 2023. And you're watching them warm up. And then for people that are more adrenaline junkies than I am, you can actually attach yourself and lean off the side of the building, you know, and I'm like, that is That is not for me. But that was really, really cool. Like, look down from the CN Tower.
Yeah, I might be down for something like that. I don't think my kid will be down for it. I mean, I've actually been to Toronto before a couple of times. And, you know, this was back in 1999 when my buddies and I were all getting ready to split up for college. And we went up there and we actually stayed in the hotel and we had a room facing the field. This was back in 1999, and it was Brett Saberhagen against David Wells. Brett Saberhagen pitching for the Red Sox, David Wells for Toronto. So, I mean, it was probably 10 years later than that would have been a pitcher's duel. But we saw it, and it was actually really cool because we had signs and stuff like that. I mean, we were drunken idiot college kids. And, you know, we turn around and look down, and the entire team's throwing balls up to us. And finally, it was Trot Nixon who got a ball up to us in the hotel. But it was really a cool experience.
Was it worth it?
At the time, it was, because we were splitting it four ways, and the Canadian dollar versus the American dollar was the American dollar had a significant lead, so our money was worth a lot more. Yeah. Up there. And yeah, it was definitely worth it. I don't think it's worth it with what the prices are now, and I haven't even looked, but I'm sure it's substantial.
Yeah.
So you're out in Columbus. Have you caught on to the Ohio State thing yet, or are you a fan?
Yeah,
or?
I mean, you kind of have to. It makes everybody at work is happier when the Buckeyes win. I mean, I didn't grow up following college football,
right?
But to see people so passionate about something, it's really hard not to be. I haven't quite bought into the Blue Jackets quite yet, you know, but it's like they're here. I want them to do well, but it just feels like the overwhelming. And also, aren't the NFL teams in Ohio? Like, let's be honest, the Buckeyes are king, you know?
Yeah,
and,
well, of course.
So it's fun to look forward to something every Saturday. You're like, okay, well, I'm following college. And then I've been here for a couple of years now, and you're starting to see these guys in the NFL do really well. You're like, oh, I remember him when he was in Columbus. Used to go to church with a few of the players, and you hope that they do well. And so that's always kind of fun to see. Yeah, those guys do well.
So you're not into the Blue Jackets. Are you an NHL fan in general, or just not a hockey guy?
You know, it's always been for me, baseball's number one,
yeah.
Football's number two, and then as a Philadelphia sports fan, whichever Flyers or Sixers is doing better, when they get to the playoffs, I'll follow. The definition of a fair weather fan with the Flyers and Sixers, and I'll own that. Now that the Sixers got LeBron, I'm like all about the Sixers. But the Flyers had a good year too, so we'll see how they do. But yeah, it's something that I'm like, I didn't really grow up with. It's baseball is by far my favorite. Football's number two. And then if it's on, I love the Olympics. That was so much fun.
The Olympic hockey?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was such a great game.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's no desire to go to every single hockey arena.
No. I mean, that's different, though, because it's, you know, hockey, basketball, it's more cookie cutter than, you know, baseball stadiums. You have personality. You have at Citizens Bank Park, you got that. Those bushes in center field where
right.
Kyle Schwarber hit probably a mile and a half over those bushes yesterday right. With that walk-off home run. Right. I mean, so you're a Phillies fan and a Twins fan. Like, are you just a baseball fan in general? Will you watch, like, did you watch the game last night? And we're airing on Wednesday, and I'm talking about the Little League game last night.
I didn't watch it. I put my wife through enough baseball this past weekend where I was like, all right, let's watch some Netflix. You know, like, you want to watch some true crime stuff? We'll do that. Sure. She knows that as the year goes on, as it gets closer and closer to October, baseball is going to become more and more of a thing. I'm a Phillies fan first and foremost.
Sure.
I like the Twins. I want my brother to have success with the Twins and what he does there. I root for cities that I used to live in, so I have a heart for Kansas City. And then I start rooting for players that I typically like, you know. So, like, the Royals, I got a heart for the Reds. My wife's a Reds fan, so I root for them, too. Mm-hmm. And used to live in Florida, so I like Tampa a little bit. So, yeah, you just kind of root for different teams. Also, I find myself, after going to stadiums, I find myself rooting for teams that I had a good experience at. So, San Francisco, I'm not a Giants fan by any way, but, like, I love the stadium. Didn't necessarily have the best experience in Chicago with the White Sox. So I'm like, I don't root against them for that, but I'm like, I don't really follow them as closely.
So I absolutely loved Wright Field. You didn't like it. Why are you so anti-Wright Field?
This might not necessarily be the White Sox fault. Mm-hmm. So do you remember during that Field of Dreams game a few years ago where Tim Anderson hit that home run?
Absolutely. And
okay, so I went to the next game, the first game back in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
So, and they gave out these amazing 1919 White Sox jerseys. I still have it in my closet. The problem is I procrastinated on buying tickets because I was like, there's nobody that's going to want to go see this. I mean, it's not the Field of Dreams game. So anyway, I was wrong. Tickets were $100 in the upper deck.
Oh, wow.
Which, good for the White Sox. I'm happy for them for that. The problem that I had, though, was if you get an upper deck seat, you can't walk around the lower.
Oh, gotcha.
So it was like I was at the game and I was at the stadium, but I feel like I wasn't allowed to see, like, where the statues are. And I wasn't allowed to really get up close and get the full feeling of Wright Field. And I think if I would have been allowed to do that, I would have been like, well, that's on me for. But now I was like, ah, oh, man, I should have. I felt like I didn't quite get my money's worth out of that.
Yeah, we don't, when we go, we don't mess around. So we ended up in the front row at Wright Field, also Wrigley and Milwaukee, you know, compared to front row for the Red Sox. These are bargains. But I didn't really get a chance to see Wright Field all that much because, you know, we were staying in Skokie, which is just north of Chicago. And, you know, the ride from there to Milwaukee was like an hour and 10 minutes. And it ended up taking like an hour and a half to get to Wright Field because the traffic was terrible. So we got there like 20 minutes before first pitch. And it sucked. Like, we didn't get really a chance to do anything. And I'd rather sit and watch the game than do exploring, you know.
So I got a question for you.
Sure.
What do you get? Do you collect anything when you go to stadiums?
Actually, that's a great question. My daughter collects the ice cream helmets.
Oh.
So that's what we collect. What about you? What do you collect?
Yeah, ice cream helmets.
Yeah, there it is. Okay.
I actually built a case. I'm pretty good with my hands. So I built a case to hold like the ice cream helmets. And I did that. Now the second time around, I'm collecting these baseballs that I have a case in my office, and I call it my work joy. It's like, you know, it makes me happy when I'm at work. I can look at it, I'm like, okay, even if things at work aren't going overly great at every moment of my life, I can look at it and be like, yeah, you know what, we're working hard, and then we can afford to go to stadiums, you know, like, it's, we can afford to go on vacation. So
exactly. What was your favorite ballpark?
So it's probably a little bit of recency bias, if I'm being totally honest. Oracle Park in San Francisco was my 30th stadium. My brother was friends with I forgot his name. The Japanese pitcher used to pitch for the Dodgers and Twins. I can't remember.
I can't remember.
he was there. I'm gonna go off it, but. He was able to get us field passes. So we went,
oh, wow. And,
you know, we celebrated the 30th with that one. So that was like a memory I'll never forget, was doing that 30th one. But you can't beat the water view, and then you have a city view, and it was beautiful. San Diego is a really good one, too. They got some of the best food. The thing about Pittsburgh, I have it in my top five, but I haven't been there yet with the weather good. So the first time I went, it was cold. The second time I went, it rained. And so I got to experience it with a sunny and 75 day. But yeah, those are kind of my top three. And anybody who makes the argument, like, you know, you can say St. Louis and you could say, like, these are all, it's, again, it's all personal preference.
I agree 100%.
I'm sure if I finished my chase in Pittsburgh, that would have been number one, or San Diego would have been. It's just like I had a really good experience in San Francisco. The water's cool. The city's cool. Or the city view is cool. And so San Francisco is probably my pick so far.
We're here with Joe Cheeseman. He's a radio personality in Columbus, Ohio, and he has also gone to all 30 ballparks. You know, a chase that we've talked about myself and my daughter doing here a couple of times on the show. We're going to take a short time out, and we will be back here on Morning Drive more with Joe Cheeseman on the other side of the break here on 89.7 WTBR.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP is hiring an Assistive Technology Regional Center Program Manager to lead a dynamic program that helps individuals with disabilities gain greater independence and access to their communities. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Hey, this is Dave Cachet, the archivist of the WTBRFM Vinyl Library. Tune in Saturday mornings at 9 for Random Draw, a trip through the vinyl archives of WTBR. I'll take you back in time to when these records were brand new. Each week, I'm going to pick a random spot in the vast record library of WTBR and pull out a bunch of great vinyl to play for you. That's right, an hour's worth of random songs with that rich vinyl sound, just the way you remember them. That's Random Draw, every Saturday morning at 9, only on WTBR.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you can show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at sandrini.com.
If we're not preset number one on your radio, isn't it about time you moved us there?
Well, we're waiting.
We're the Berkshires WTBR-FM.
Keep on, keep on.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on this Wednesday morning. Bob Heck here with you. And again, Pittsfield Community Television, we're turning 40 this year. And we are inviting you to the party of the year. Don't miss Joe 80 and the Lugnuts as they take the stage at Berkshire Hills Country Club on September 18th. Joe 80 and the Lugnuts, they've been rocking the Capital Region for years, and they're bringing their mix of Southern Rock and other cover tunes to Berkshire Hills to help raise money for Pittsfield Community Television. Tickets are $10 and available at pittsfieldtv.org or available at the door. PCTV proud to present Joe 80 and the Lugnuts September 18th at 9 p.m. at Berkshire Hills Country Club. Tickets available now at pittsfieldtv.org. We're talking with Joe Cheeseman, and Joe's been to all 30 stadiums. We've been chatting about that. He's a radio personality in Columbus, Ohio. Joe, welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us through the break.
Thanks for having me. I really have a lot of fun with this.
Is that a cool Philly Fanatics hat you're wearing?
Yeah, it used to be their batting. I don't know if they wear them anymore. It used to be the batting practice hats that they wear. So, yeah, I got like 700 hats, you know.
So I almost got in a big fight over that. We had Joe DeCicco on the show. We got to meet Wally at a saloon here to help raise money for his organization. And, you know, we were talking about how my daughter's mad about how I think the Philly Fanatic is the GOAT mascot. And she's, you know, recency bias, I suppose. Her favorite's Wally, the Green Monster.
And, well, that's a local one. Yeah. You gotta take your guy, you know. I don't blame that.
And I get where she's coming from, but Wally never got in a fight with Tommy Lasorda. And so you need to fight Tommy Lasorda to get on there. So we go meet Wally, and Joe DeCicco tells Wally that I think the Philly Fanatic's better. And, like, Wally was going to beat me up. And I'm like, what's up with this? It's like, you know, I can like Drake May and still think Tom Brady's the greatest, you know? It's not that I don't like you. It's that you never fought Lasorda or did any of the crazy stuff that the Philly Fanatic's done.
It's hard because Philadelphia and Boston have that little rivalry, you know? It's tough. Dating back since the 1700s. I mean, 250 years, this rivalry has not slowed down. Mm-hmm. So even the mascots are getting into it. No, I love the Fanatic. I got married about a month ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I was half joking when I asked my my wife if the Fanatic could be my best man. Like, I was kidding. Unless she said yes, and then I was all in on it. So she goes, how about as a compromise, you can wear Fanatic socks. And I was like, okay, cool. So
that'll work.
Yeah, so I'll take that, yeah.
Are there any cities you've been to that sort of surprised you? You're like, I've heard bad stories about the fans here, or I've heard bad stories, and then it turned out to be perfectly fine.
So the city in and of itself, Detroit, is actually on the up and up. Mm-hmm. I was surprised with how much there was to do and how clean it felt. I guess I was going in there with no expectations. The stadium was awesome. Nice wide concourses, great food, good views. It was really cool. They don't have that little keyhole mound anymore, but they were the only, when I went, they were the only team that was still doing that. Just the friendly staff. So I really enjoyed Detroit quite a bit. In fact, I try to go up there. I mean, where I live, I'm like 3 hours away from Detroit.
Yeah,
so
that's
I'll
not
go
bad.
Out of my way just because I enjoy going there. Again, I lived in Kansas City. Kansas City's a super cool town. There's a lot to do there. Seattle was awesome. I mean, all the it'd be quicker to name the ones that I really didn't. But even still, I'm like, I went to Oakland and I got out. You know what I mean? Like, it was fine. It was fine. You know, I'm glad I went. I didn't feel like it was in danger or anything like that. But I was like, there's probably not a whole lot here that's really my scene, you know? So then I went to San Francisco and hung out there too. So, like every city, you know, you're in 30 of the biggest cities in the country. They're all going to have pockets that aren't great. They're all going to have parts that are really awesome. And the internet's been a great way. The Ballpark Chasers app, you mentioned that. It's a great community where you can be like, hey, I've never been to Pittsburgh before. I have no idea what there is to do here. And then people that are locals are there. They're like, oh, you know, everybody wants to show off their town, even if it's not, you know, necessarily on paper the most interesting city on earth. It's like there's always going to be something to do there that you can find. And that's the great thing about the Facebook group is people are so eager to help out. Yeah.
Yeah. And when people ask about Boston, it's I always try and follow up with, what are you looking to experience? Because, you know, you can have the historic experience and you could do the whale watching, you could do the Freedom Trail and all that stuff. Or do you want to drink around town? And I can do that too. There's so many different ways to experience Boston. I'm sure a lot of us cities like that. You know, and a city that surprised me as far as the fans and, you know, Philly fans get a bad rap. I was there in Philly. First off, I love the layout of the city. I love that all the stadiums are all together. And I was there for WrestleMania 40, and then I was there for a Phillies game. I thought everybody in Philly was super awesome. I'm sure it'll be different in the fourth quarter of an Eagles game with playoff implications. But I loved everybody in Philly.
So I always say, you're going to, if you go in there and you root for the opposing team, you will get teased. Mm-hmm. You will get ragged on a little bit. But how you react is going to be the, it's going to decide how the rest of the game is going to go for you. You know, if you're going to go in there and get your feelings hurt because you're getting teased a little bit, they will jump on you and poke all day long.
Oh, absolutely. We do that in Boston, too.
Yeah. Now, if you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm just a guest here. I love your stadium. You know, I love watching Bryce Harper hit whatever. There's a good chance they'll buy you a beer. You know what I mean? Like, it is literally the city of brotherly love. You know, they're going to. They're going to give you a noogie and then be like, ah, come on. I'm going to go buy you lunch now. Come on. Like, you know, my wife wore a Reds jersey to Citizens Bank Park last year. And I was like, okay, you give her the warning. You're like, you're going to get teased. You can't get offended by this. And she did a little bit, but she played it off really well. And, but I'm like, if we ever go to an Eagles game, like, we're not playing with the Bengals, though. You know what I mean?
Oh, God,
like,
no. No, you don't do that.
Yeah. So when I went to Citi Field, I went to a Mets Brewers game or something, and I wore my Phillies hat because I hate the Mets with the force of 1,000 supernovas. I can't lie. And again, I got the brotherly love thing, but you give it back. You know, you just tease them a little bit back and be like, yeah, you know, I really enjoyed the stadium. I like Shea quite a bit too. So it's kind of this weird paradox to be like, you can like the stadium, but yet you hate the team so much and you have a great time there, even though you're not watching your team play. So it's,
we went to Citi Field earlier this year and that might be one of my favorites so far. I really enjoyed the experience there. You know, Mets fans and Red Sox fans outside of the whole 86 thing, whatever happened there, you know, we're kindred spirits. We all hate the Yankees, so we all get along. You know, the enemy of the enemy is our friend. So we had a great experience there. Plus, the Mets fans were resigned to their suckage this year. So they were pretty cool about it. I thought it was a great place. I loved the area behind center field. I loved the Hall of Fame area, which was really cool, especially since it was air conditioned and it was about the seventh level of hell conditions there that day. I really enjoyed Citi Field.
Yeah. I love how they've done a great job bringing in the old ballparks, too. Like, they have the Home Run Apple, which I believe when they initially opened Citi Field, that wasn't there. And then the fans complained so much that the Mets were like, all right, we'll put it back.
Know?
So, and then they have the little area outside of home plate where you can, it looks like the old New York Giants Stadium, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where they've done a really good job. And I guess when they were building it, I was like, why in the world would they make a new stadium look old? That seems dumb to me. But the Mets have done a great job. I dare say better than Yankee Stadium.
It is, in my opinion. You know, I've been to old Yankee Stadium, and oh boy, was that an experience as a Red Sox fan. And new Yankee Stadium sort of felt sanitized, and there really wasn't much going on.
It
like
felt
the
corporate, it exactly, feels corporate and almost like they're trying to make it look old, and they didn't. It's all right. I was just whenever somebody, how was Yankee Stadium? I was like, it's okay. I mean, it's not, with how expensive it was, I would expect it was going to be. And with the prestige of the Yankees, I just kind of always thought it's going to be some new groundbreaking world record stadium. You expect them to have the biggest and the best. And I was like, it's middle of the pack. It's not the worst. It's not the best.
I mean, they basically did a half-assed knockoff job of old Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, which if it was... Yeah, if old Yankee Stadium was that great, why'd they replace it? You know what I mean? Like, it's, I liked old Yankee Stadium. That, again, like, it had that Fenway feel where it's like, yeah, it's old, but like,
it's historic.
It's the house that Babe Ruth built.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I Boston. So sorry to bring that up. You know what I mean? It's
the Lou Gehrig, we're over it now.
Lou Gehrig and Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris all played here. And now it's like, yeah, it looks like that, but they played different. I don't know. That's one of the things I really think about Fenway. It's like, wow, like, for a while here, like, this was a hard, not a lot of success recently with, or not a lot of success in Fenway. And then over the last two decades or so, it's like, This is a really historic ballpark now.
Yeah.
For decades of losing and now decades of just winning. I mean, like, it's a really cool place that you get to experience when you go to Fenway.
And I'll tell you, you know, like I said at the top, we have a 10-game season ticket package there at Fenway. We sit right next to the opposing bullpen. And I can tell you the experience in May was significantly different than the experience a few weeks back when we went. Because, I mean, that place was very miserable back in May and June. And now it's back to being Boston's best bar. The place is just rocking.
Do you ever go to that bar that's in the fence?
Yes, well, I forgot what the bleacher bar. Yep.
The bleacher bar. Yeah, yeah. That place was cool.
Yeah, it's cool to be able to look out and see everything that's going on. Yeah, they've done some really cool stuff there.
Yeah.
What are some of your least favorite ballparks that you've been to?
My least favorite?
And again, we say it in a way that, like,
yeah,
the worst stadium you've been to is still better than the best day at work.
Oh, yeah, for sure. again, there are certain stadiums that I wasn't necessarily their fault. Like, when I went to Truist Park, it rained, mm-hmm. you know? It's like I felt like I didn't get to have the experience most people get at Truist Park. So, for me, it was okay, you know, but it was raining the whole time. And so I'd like to go back. I mean, Lone Depot in Miami. I mean, you love going to Miami because it's just a fun, warm place to go. And then it kind of feels like you're walking into like a Costco or something. like, I think the outer exterior of the new Ranger Stadium is not the best looking stadium I've ever seen. It looks like a barn. You know, but the inside, you're like, well, thank God there's air conditioning in here because it's 1,000 degrees oh, yeah. outside. So, I mean, you're really it's again, just like with favorite stadiums, it's personal preference. You know, Tropicana Field gets a bad rap. People complain that it's too far away from Tampa. It's like people in Florida would be like, we got to cross a bridge. I was like, yeah, if you go to a Phillies game, you got to cross a bridge from Jersey. If you go to New York, you got to cross a bridge. Like, why are people so hung up on this? It's the fact it's an indoor stadium that people don't like. But in terms of Oakland had like literal caution tape around seats.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To like not sit. But they were leaving the next year. So it's like you got to give them a break because it's like, of course, they're not going to do maintenance on a stadium. They're leaving. I told you a little bit earlier about the White Sox experience where it's like you can't walk around the lower bowl. I said the White Sox is that next time I'm going to get lower seats. You know what I mean? Like, I'd say in terms of the bottom, I could look at my list here really quick. Hang on one second.
Okay. We're here with Joe Cheeseman. He's a radio personality in Columbus, Ohio. He has done all 30 ballparks, and we went through some of his favorites, his top five, and now we're trying to go through the least favorites so far.
Yeah, Arizona.
You didn't like Arizona.
It was okay. Again, kind of like the whole indoor. I went to another thing too is I got to do my best to take when I go to a Phillies game and they just absolutely blow a game. I tend to like get mad at the team. It's not their fault. You know what I mean?
But that's fair. I understand that.
So I went to that game where Craig Kimbrell blew, I think it was game 5 or game 4 in the NLCS a few years ago, just blew it. And you go all the way down there for a playoff game. And it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's big. It's not much to look at. It's also 30 years old, so it's okay. But yeah, some of these older stadiums, though. I remember when Safeco opened up. I guess now it's T-Mobile Park. Like, that was like the crown jewel, and now it's like, oh, it's probably.
Yeah, it's just okay. Yeah.
Yeah, top half. It used to be amazing. Same with. Man, they keep changing the names. Minute Maid Park in Houston. This Daikin Field now.
Yes, Daikin Field.
You know? But I remember when it was called Enron. And, like, these stadiums used to be, like, the crown, the best of the best. Now I'm like, they're getting older.
Yeah, we went when it was Minute Maid. We actually had a really cool experience. You said your brother works for the Twins. A real good friend of mine from college at the time was the DJ for the Houston Astros. And after the game, we got to go up to that mission control thing and check the whole thing out.
Oh, that's cool.
It was wicked cool. He's now the in-game on-field host for the Astros. We had him on the show here a couple of months back. Real nice guy. So glad he's successful and was able to get us back there.
I'll tell you what. A game in Minnesota, though, that is the worst stadium in the world in March when it's snowing. Like, you're like, this is awful. This is not fun at all. But then in August, it's like one of the most beautiful places to be. Like, it's just, it's so hard because like the weather can really make or break an experience at a game. And I don't always feel like that's fair to judge a stadium based on that. But it is part of life.
Yeah. So you're 100% right. I mean, you can, the weather in Chicago when we went, all three games we went to was absolutely beautiful. It wasn't humid or anything like that. It was just like picture perfect weather. Yeah. 70s, just beautiful. Yeah. But yeah, I can imagine it would suck in Chicago if it was 110 degrees with all that humidity. I mean, we were at that Red Sox game that went 13 innings, and you know, I think my favorite part about baseball is, you know, you get in the seat for a 7 o'clock game and you sweat your ass off for the first 30 minutes and then that sun goes down and you just get that nice refreshing breeze and it's just like the perfect night. This was not that. This was sweating profusely through the entire game with the humidity. At Fenway, the seats aren't exactly, you don't get a lot of leg room there, so you're just all sweating on top of each other. And yeah, I'm not a fan of that, so to speak.
Yeah, I remember my dad told me just a couple days ago, we were talking because I mentioned I was going to go on and talk about the stadiums. And he goes, make sure you tell him how hot the Texas Stadium was, the old Ranger Stadium. He goes, it doesn't matter how cool that stadium was, that little Jewel Box Stadium. He goes, we were like the fourth inning. I thought I was going to have a heat stroke. He goes, you can't have an outdoor stadium in Texas like that. So it doesn't really matter what your stadium looks like.
I couldn't believe that they had that outdoor. I'm surprised Minnesota didn't do like a retractable roof thing.
I think that they kind of rushed it. I remember a few years ago, they were almost, you know, retracted. So they needed a stadium before the lease went out in the Metrodome because they were already agreeing. They're like, that was the only reason why the Twins stayed was because the judge said you have to follow your lease, you know, and so that was why the Twins stayed. So I think that they kind of rushed it. But at the same time, you know, when you're in New Jersey or whatever, and you want to go see a Mets game or a Yankees or Phillies game, you're only like 2 or 3 hours away. The Twins fan base is anywhere from like a 5 hour radius. So can you imagine? I grew up in South Dakota, knowing that every time that there was bad weather, you knew that you were going to get a game because they were in the dome. Now I'm like, I don't know if I would buy tickets that far ahead because I don't want to drive all the way to Minneapolis to have it get rained out to drive all the way back. So I don't think that was a very good decision that they made, but they saved a lot of money. And it doesn't feel like the Twins get a whole lot of rainouts or snowouts.
Yeah. And at the same time, I mean, I guess the part that sucks is that, like, the most important part of the season is, you know, late October.
Right.
And, you know, Boston isn't exactly a warm weather city during the spring and late fall. So, you know, you see a World Series game at Fenway, they're all wearing the ski masks and everything. And, yeah, that's not much fun. And maybe all the Northeast teams should have retractable roofs or something like that.
I think we have the technology now where they probably should. Any new stadium, I mean, obviously you're not going to put a roof over Fenway right now. Right. But if the Red Sox were to ever get a new stadium, I think it should be like a condition now. It's like, hey, we need to have a retractable roof. It's just didn't have the technology in the 1920s. Now you do. So just do it.
Yeah, and it was nice knowing, you know, when we went to Chicago, we had a backup plan for the Cubs game. Like, we went the night we flew in. But there was a game the next night, too. And at Wright Field, we went to the game on Saturday, but could have gone Sunday too. But it was nice Friday knowing we could go to the Brewers game and there was going to be a baseball game that day. So, you know, that's always helpful when making plans.
Yeah, I typically don't go to games on day, like, I don't buy tickets and then go to the game later on because, as you know, weather can really mess things up. So I don't want to buy tickets and then get delayed and then have to miss the game. So typically what I'll do is I'll plan on going to the next day. And then, yeah, like you do, I'll put a buffer between too. So that way, if one game gets rained out, we'll go to the next one. It's not a big deal. I ran into that. I had a problem a few years ago. Before I lived in Ohio, I was living in Kansas City, and we drove all the way to Kansas City, or all the way to Cincinnati from Kansas City, and it rained, you know, and I was like, well, we drove this, might as well stay the night and try it again, you know, the next day. But that wasn't my plan. Plan was to start heading back the next day, but right. It all ended up working out.
That's the thing. We always find a way to figure it out. Joe Cheeseman, he is a radio personality out in Columbus, Ohio, and he has gone to all 30 stadiums. In fact, he's restarted the journey with his wife, and, you know, it's nice that you have a wife that's into it. My wife used to somewhat be into it, but, you know, she was upset. Not that upset that we didn't bring her to Chicago for the baseball trip, but after last season, towards the end, you know, her and I were out on a date night and at a bar playing Keno, and they had something up on the screen about the Red Sox, and she's like, "Oh, who's this Garrett Crotchet guy that we have now? I never heard of him." I'm like, "Jesus, he's like going to be the Cy Young this year,"
right?
And you mispronounced his name, so don't tell me you're into baseball anymore.
Isn't it fun though? Like my, I think, you know, my wife Kirsten has noticed that it's helping her relationship with her dad too. They're coming to common ground now because now she's watching so much more baseball. It used to be when she was a little girl that, you know, as a party trick, her dad taught her the Reds lineup with Ken Griffey Jr. and Barry Larkin and everything. Now she'll go over there and she'll be like, "Yeah, did you guys see Schwarber hit that Schwarbomb?" You know what I mean? Like all this lingo. And she enjoys seeing the country and she enjoys the different foods and, you know, pointing out she's way more detail oriented than me. So she'll notice things that I've never noticed. And I'm like, "Oh, that's, I didn't know that before." So she's making the second time around even more fun. I mean, just, I didn't think I could, but it's just like you're traveling with your best friend who likes, you know, maybe not necessarily understands the X's and O's of baseball, but what understands it enough that she wants to learn and she likes the food and she finds entertainment in it.
Yeah, I mean, if you can tolerate baseball, it's still a great experience. There's
right.
still nothing like being in a ballpark and watching baseball, even if you don't enjoy the game as much as some of us do.
Right.
It's still just a great experience. Have you made plans for next year yet, or are you sort of waiting and seeing if there is even any baseball next year?
So, yeah, I mean, I looked at the schedules and I'm like, okay, well, if there is baseball next year, what would I want to do? How would we do it? We try to cross off 3 new stadiums every year with Kirsten. So, you know, I'm looking at it. I was like, we'd like to go to Hawaii at some point. So I'm like, can we cross off a California stadium if we have a layover? Can we stay a day or two and see the Dodgers or the Angels or something like that? But yeah, like next year is so up in the air. I haven't really, like, usually by this point, I have the Philly schedule kind of down. Like, okay, so we can go this one. We could, you know, we're starting to kind of branch off a little bit. At first with her, we were kind of just focusing on the areas around Columbus. And then my dad lives in Jersey and my mom lives in D.C. So we crossed off those ones. And now I'm like, we could do Chicago pretty easily. That's easy. Toronto's not far. So do something like that.
Right. You have the benefit of being more centrally located than I do.
And that is super nice,
yeah.
too. Like, you know, we have no major league teams in Columbus, so I can't just go on a Thursday night and go to work the next day. If I want to go see the Reds, I got to tell my boss and dip out a little early and all that stuff. But it's nice because, like, the Blue Jays are 6 hours away. The Pirates and the Tigers are 3. The Guardians and the Reds are 2. Chicago's 6. You know, Philly's 7 or 8. You know, like, you just, all these cities are like right there. I think I saw something like Columbus is like a testing for a lot of food because you're within like 80% of the population.
Yeah.
Is like within a certain day's drive of it too. So no, it's really cool. Like I didn't know anything about Columbus before I moved here. And then I saw that, I was like, actually I can go to a lot of baseball when I'm here. So
yeah, that's nice. Joe Cheeseman, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It was great chatting with you.
Thanks
about
for
baseball
having me.
In
really
general.
Enjoyed.
And yeah, great time. We once we get through 30 again, we'll have to do it again sometime.
Exactly.
thanks, Joe.
All right, bud.
Awesome day today here on Morning Drive, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your Wednesday here on... thanks for listening to Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM, 88.1 WSBR Lee. Have a great day, everybody.